What's up, humans? Welcome to another episode of Shots from the Winchester podcast, brought to you by Greencastle Consulting, your nation's premier strategy execution firm. I'm your host, Al Green, and we're going to be talking to Brad Kenny today. Hey. And first off, I want to just let the audience know a little bit more about who you are. Brad, how long have you been working at Greencastle so far?
About 2.5 years now.
2.5 years. Yeah. It used to be business intelligence, and now it's
data and analytics.
Data and analytics. Right. Yeah. Okay. So as we're growing, we're like, you know, changing the language and mixing it up a little bit. So we're trying to figure it out.
It's funny. You can tell, you know, who the Star Trek nerds are, right? Because the Star Trek nerds call it data. because there was a character, because Patrick Short was from England, all that kind of stuff, right? And non-Star Trek nerds tend to call it data.
Data. That's true. Yep. That's so funny.
Yeah, so if anyone's asking themselves, you know, both ways are technically correct.
Right.
You could be a data or a data person.
Yeah.
But I don't put information into databases, so I use databases.
That's a good point.
But that's just me, right? You know, certainly open for however anyone wants to pronounce the word. So don't feel like kind of cut off. It was like, oh my gosh, he just said data and I just said data. Like that's
right. It's like tomato, tomato, and that's yep. Space. But I guess I say data or did I say data?
You said data.
I said actually, data.
You said kind of data. Like you had
data. Yes. Yeah, I think on my own, I say data or I might say data. I guess it depends. That's interesting.
Depends if you're watching Star Trek.
Yeah, right? That's true. Like, yeah, if I'm watching Star Trek, definitely saying data. Now, that's a good point. That's hilarious. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You were in the military. Obviously, everyone that works here at Greencastle is a veteran or active service.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was in the Army, the Pennsylvania Army National Guard.
Nice.
I served 7 years there and then 1 year in the inactive reserves. Mm-hmm. I was a medic. I served with a couple different units. My primary unit of assignment was the 103rd Engineers based out of Philadelphia. Actually, they were on Drexel's campus at the time.
Nice.
That's kind of how I found them. I was going to Drexel back then. Mm-hmm. From there, I deployed to Iraq with a couple of different units, one being the 876 Engineers, which was out of Johnstown. And then I got attached to a 135th Engineer company, which was actually out of Illinois that were helping us out mm-hmm. in 2005, 2006. Coming home from there, I ended up deploying again in 2009, 2010 with the 56th Striker Brigade with Bravo Troop of the 2nd of the 104th Cavalry.
Wow.
Right. So medics are kind of like, you know, kind of a hot commodity.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we need a medic kind of just thrown around different places. I was traded for like 2 combo guys at one point. So right. it's pretty good. You know, nice. met a lot of really good people, a lot of good bonds and relationships formed. Afterwards, after getting out of the military, I started going into the more analytical fields, right? So I finished up my bachelor's degree at Cabrini University in mathematics, and then I ended up still using the GI Bill and getting a master's in applied statistics from Villanova University.
Yeah, good man.
With that, I've got my family. I've got a wife and 2 kids. We currently have 3 cats. And I also spend a lot of my volunteer time with youth leadership development.
Nice.
Working with scouting as well as the Civil Air Patrol, which is the civilian auxiliary to the United States Air Force.
Thank you for that. That's great background. You were just mentioning to me too, you were doing something over the weekend.
Yes. Yeah. So in the Civil Air Patrol, we break things up we call them wings, right? But essentially they're states.
Okay.
So there's Pennsylvania Wing, which is the program in the entire state of Pennsylvania. I'm the director of cadet programs for Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Essentially, it means I supervise the entire youth program, which is over 700 cadets age 12 up through 21. And so this past Sunday, partnering with our aerospace branch, we actually hosted a women in STEM, aerospace, and leadership discussion.
Basically, that's fantastic.
It was a virtual discussion. We had speakers from Boeing, from academia, from the NSA, and we even had the honor to have the commanding general of the Pennsylvania Army National Guard come and speak to our senior members and our cadets about their different journeys and their challenges and their successes and basically giving a lot of good advice to young people, both male and female. Mm-hmm. Right, about how they can be successful in their future lives. It was a really great event. It was well attended.
That's really cool. I'm glad you were a part of that, and thanks for sharing that with us. We're sitting in front of a shot of rum right here.
Yep.
And if you are just watching the show and you've never seen it before, originally this was called Shots from the Winchester because we would normally do a shot right before we get into the conversation. So we thought, well, why not? Let's go ahead and do a shot today. So we got some, this is Captain Morgan.
Captain Morgan Spice,
yep. Captain Morgan Spice Rum. So we're going to hit this shot real quick and then we're going to jump into our conversation. All right. So ready?
Cheers.
Cheers. Whoo! Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Wow, that tastes great. All right, so let's give the audience some idea of what is the difference between digital modernization and digital transformation.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So we can think about digital modernization, right, as kind of keeping things upgraded in order to maintain the status quo.
Right.
Right. So think about like your car from a digital modernization perspective. Let's say you have like the old school headlights in there.
Yeah.
And you just really have this really burning desire to kind of upgrade them to the new HID headlamps. Right. Mm. I'm an old school headlight person, but still a lot of people like the new kind of bright things that blind everyone on the road. But like whatever, right?
Yeah.
So you can imagine you might be able to take that to the dealer. And first of all, like do not just switch out the light bulbs. They will not work, right?
Right.
It's not designed that way. But you could take your vehicle to the dealership and potentially get the entire modules kind of swapped out.
Right. Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like modernizing the headlights in your vehicle, right? You're kind of, you know that everyone else is using them. It has a little bit of a better brightness down the road. So you're kind of modernizing it there.
Mm.
Transformation usually involves a different way of thinking, right? It's kind of like a reimagination or a cultural shift, right? As it were. So using the car scenario, right? We can think about taking the car, breaking it down to the bare bones and rebuilding it as a self-driving electric vehicle.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right. So if you think about it, the modernization piece is really kind of trying to keep up, right? Just trying to maintain your technology stack as far as the digital piece goes.
Right.
Whereas a transformation really is saying, okay, how can we actually get ahead? Mm. How can we position ourselves strategically in order to make changes down the road and make ourselves a bit more of a threat? Right. To our competitors.
Nice. Yeah. And how is Greencastle strategically positioned to be able to do that for our clients?
OK, so talking about whether it's a digital transformation project or a digital modernization project, like both are totally fine. Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that we shouldn't modernize just because we think transformation might be better.
Right.
If you have an old school on-premises database server or a series of them, right, that you're really trying to upgrade either to a new on-prem platform or you're trying to maybe do something with the cloud, right, definitely modernize, right?
Yeah.
Then if you wanted to kind of go from this notion of everyone is using spreadsheets and they are just kind of making up numbers or kind of pulling them out of the air and you want to have an analytical transformation, right, Greencastle can help out with that as well, right? So the whole gamut of project management and strategy execution. So part of our strategic execution focus, right, is using multiple pillars. We have great experience in IT project management, right? So actually making sure that the items are getting done. Change management, right? Making sure that people actually are aligned with the change, which is critical for transformation, right?
Yeah.
Because you literally are asking for a culture shift when you're trying to transform.
Yeah, and people aren't necessarily ready for that.
Yes, right? Mm-hmm. So change management is key. And then process improvement, you know, to kind of help identify where some gaps or some inefficiencies are to sort of make things run smoother.
Right.
And then we couple that along with our, you know, budget control and financial controls and our data and analytics expertise to kind of put together like an entire strategy execution package.
Greencastle is excellent at that. And we've been doing it for 26 years now. And that's impressive. But in the last 5 years, after seeing a 500% growth spurt in the company, we're taking this on a lot stronger.
Yeah. So we always... I feel that we position ourselves as force multipliers, right? Greencastle Consultants, our tasking is not to go in and do the line item necessarily, right? We also are trying to provide value of thought leadership, right? That sort of more consultative sort of approach.
Yeah.
So not only would a client look for just, all right, cool, I need to put a butt in a seat to kind of just manage the project.
Yeah.
It's all right, cool, I need to get the butt in the seat, but I also need someone to actually help guide me around like where we need to go with it, right? To actually provide advice, right? Mm. And utilize the best practices that we have over these 26 years.
Yeah.
Right? That's where I think that we drive real value, is in, you know, being more than just the folks who are doing the line work.
Why would a company want to modernize their digital assets or their digital processes?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Essentially, just like anything else, digital infrastructure tends to have a shelf life,
right? Ah, gotcha. Yeah, right? Yeah.
So if you think about it from like a from a new build versus a like an operations and maintenance perspective, mm-hmm. right? Do you want to keep maintaining that old legacy software or hardware, mm-hmm. right? In this case, or is it better just to kind of get something that is newer, right?
Right.
I don't necessarily mean just like, all right, well, let's have our old Dell Pentium, of, you know, 286, right? Now, obviously, that's a toy example, right? You know, but, and let's just replace it with an old 286 we got off of eBay because this one like caught on fire. Like, no, right. You want to get like something like cool and new and awesome. So you're modernizing that piece in order to basically prevent further maintenance down the road. Mm. Same thing with software, right? Is all your software written in older, not as well supported language, right? And is there then a project that you want to undertake to basically put those in a more modern stack language, right? Or do you even want to change kind of the technology stack? Although now we're kind of veering a little bit into transformation there if you're talking about like stack changes in general.
Yeah.
But if you think about just when you have something that is older, right? Sometimes it takes a lot more work in order to maintain it rather than just to replace it. And if we go back to the earlier part of the discussion and we look at the old like neighborhood analogy, right?
Yeah.
Modernization can be thought of as like keeping up with the Joneses, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, no, like, you know, Bob Jones over there got a brand new Samsung fridge. I'm going to need a brand new Samsung fridge, right?
Right.
Kind of keep up. Transformative exercises or transformations can be about like, who are the Joneses? Like we're so far ahead that oh yeah, isn't that nice that they're still using refrigerators as opposed to like virtual food or whatever, right? But part of a transformation exercise can also be modernization, and sometimes this digital transformation style of project might come about from conversations about having to modernize your current digital infrastructure.
Because
we think about, oh, well, let's upgrade this, that, and the other thing. And all of a sudden, it's now like, well, if we're going to do all this work, why don't we even think about a new way of thinking about it or a new way of doing business with it, right?
Wow, yeah.
If you think about self-service analytics, right? Mm. If a company doesn't do that already, that is a pretty big change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas now it used to be, oh, well, let's kind of upgrade our BI package that we do. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, all right, well, let's actually look at putting in platforms that will allow our analysts to actually go in and derive the insights themselves. Mm-hmm. So then when reports are being presented to executives, it has a lot of that back knowledge already in there around like, what are the actual insights to kind of pull out?
Yeah.
Right? Save the analysts time. The directors now feel more comfortable presenting material up to the executives, right? So just one example using analytics, right?
Yeah. It's not just like, hey, we're just going to change our computer system out. Now you also have people that need to know how that works, how to function around it, and then like help educate or make any kind of changes or in the respect of change management.
Yeah, I can't stress the value of change management enough.
Right? Yeah.
Oftentimes, if a project fails, it'll fail due to improperly managed change.
Right? Yeah,
because we're people, right? You started off the podcast saying, "Hey, humans, right? Like we're humans, we're creatures, and we're creatures of habit in general,
right?
Even the innovators among us, you know, still times, you know, we have to kind of kick ourselves in the butt to kind of move forward a little bit.
Yeah,
and so change is hard. Right? Yeah. That's why there's an entire profession,
right?
Change around management.
It. Yeah,
right. And yes, and the fact that we can kind of bring together change management into a lot of our other scopes of practice, I personally think is pretty powerful.
This is a slightly divergent topic, but I would like to get your impression on AI right now and like how AI is helping or leveraging businesses right now. Because I think a lot of people are really confused with what AI is capable of, especially ChatGPT. Because I think people think like this god that lives in the computer somewhere and it's an actual brain and it's actually thinking and giving you things from thoughts, but it's not Skynet. Really thoughts. You're exactly right. It's not actually thoughts. It's just extrapolating information that already exists, but it's just really fast at it. It's kind of like Google. If you type in something in Google search, it gives you all these things. But instead of giving you all these websites and ideas of where you can go, it just filters it and gives it to you in that dose that you asked for.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, ChatGPT isn't the only game in town. In fact, Google has their own.
Right, they got Bard.
Yep, which is rebranded to Gemini.
Oh.
Now, you know, so there's the notion of the tool that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the notion of the large language model that's behind it.
Mm.
Right, and so Google's tool used to be called Bard, and then it had a couple different models behind it, and now their latest suite of models are named Gemini, and so they took the opportunity to kind of rebrand,
yeah,
sort of thing. And you may have seen in the news recently, there's been some craziness with like image generation, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, with Sora and all that stuff.
Which is why when I talk about AI, I like to talk about responsible AI.
Yeah. know? Yeah, yeah.
Don't just throw stuff into the machine and, you know, trust it verbatim.
Right.
So taking a step back and just thinking about AI in general, and, you know, obviously we're Philadelphia area people, so I'm not talking about Allen Iverson, you know, I'm talking about artificial intelligence, right? The term as it's used now, I think is pretty broad.
Mm-hmm.
So any way that we can get something that is an artificial decision-making process, right, we can refer to as artificial intelligence.
Mm.
It might be something as simple as a decision tree, right?
Yeah.
Where I feed something into literally a flow chart, and it kind of tells me what the answer should be. That's artificial, and it's some matter of intelligence, right?
Right.
But what I think that a lot of people kind of are thinking about modernly, you know, right now, is generative AI and large language models, right?
Yeah.
And I'm actually super excited about it.
Yeah.
There's been talk about the AI revolution for decades now, right? I mean, I've been kind of working in the digital analytics space for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And even before then, right? Remember Clippy?
Right? Yeah.
Clippy the clip.
Yeah, little...
Right. Yeah, the virtual assistant, you know, from Microsoft Office. You know, that was, oh, the AI, right? The revolution is here. And every time it would pop up, I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. The next one, yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Not really excited. Yeah. I'm actually really excited about the current suite that's out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this because I'm a consultant, right?
Yeah.
Because we're not selling any of that stuff, right? We're just kind of doing our best to kind of leverage it.
Yeah.
But what I'm excited about is, again, this notion of data to the people, right?
Yeah.
Now we're talking about these really intense data science models and this artificial intelligence to the people.
Right.
The fact that you can go in and ask a plain language question to this thing, and it'll return a plain language answer that will mostly make sense. It might not be accurate, right? But it'll make sense.
Yeah.
I think it's incredibly powerful.
That is, yeah.
Right? So it really is, you know, taking a lot of that awesome work that's been done by a lot of great data scientists and making it accessible to the common person.
Yeah.
Right? So you can think about these items as let's put in some information. I'm going to ask it to maybe help create something. And I always kind of view it as almost like a high school intern, right? They're going to give you a draft back. And you're like, okay, cool. Thanks for the draft. Maybe tweak it this way, that way. And then you finally get something that is comfortable for you. And then you take it and then you revise it.
Right.
You know, there's the notion of human in the loop,
which
is super important, especially right now. And that's basically saying, you talked about risk earlier, about how do you manage this risk, right?
Yeah.
There's always going to be, you know, risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
You manage this risk by actually making sure that a competent person is inside the loop so that you're not just using this AI in general.
Right.
I think there was a recent example, I think it was a Canadian airline, where they use some generative AI large language models inside of their virtual assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And the assistant gave incorrect information to a customer about the refund policy. It was a very sad story where the person had to book or cancel a flight because of something with bereavement and asked about the policy. The chat assistant gave them the wrong policy. Well, the Canadian courts actually said, like, well, I'm sorry, but that thing was acting as an agent of your company. So you're on the hook for whatever it said.
Dang.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
So again, this human in the loop, right? it's super important, right?
Exactly.
You know, like maybe if something is a bit complex of a topic, if you're looking at a virtual agent perspective, maybe that's where you have it loop back to a human agent, right?
Yeah.
In that case. Or setting up your flows properly to actually think about, like, oh, probably people will ask about refund policies.
Yeah.
Maybe make that a dedicated, specially trained agent.
Right? Yeah.
If that kind of makes sense.
Mm.
Now, from like a you know, utilities perspective, right, and from a strategy execution perspective, these tools are great at taking information and basically synthesizing what may be the most likely response, right? That's the whole point. It's like it's giving you this chain of words that's the most likely response.
Right.
Thinking about, you know, what can you do for drafting items, right? Mm-hmm. It's super powerful for some of the more advanced models will actually leverage Python in the background, so their math is actually getting better.
Mm.
So definitely don't just take code and paste it and kind of run with it, but you know, developers can use it to kind of upskill themselves. Mm-hmm. Again, hey, I'm going to feed this to the intern and they're going to give me back the first draft.
Right.
Then I can kind of move on from there.
Right.
I personally feel that's super powerful.
That is.
And you know, if you've got some of the wizards in the background there who can actually leverage the models directly, that's even more powerful, right? So we talk about, like, Microsoft has releasing Copilot now out there to industry. OpenAI has ChatGPT. Bard has Gemini. Anthropic has something called Claude, which I think they partner with Amazon a lot on.
Mm.
Yeah, there are a lot of great different items out there, and there are even open source models that people can kind of build their own applications off of pretty easily. Even hosting it on their own servers if they wish.
Yeah.
So one word of caution, right? I talk about the human in the loop thing.
Yeah.
If you are as a business user, right? Say like going and you're actually going to be using one of these tools that's not necessarily sponsored by your company. First of all, check. Right.
Yeah.
You want to check your IT security policies, right? That's key. Secondly, don't put in any information that you don't necessarily want this thing to know, right? To actually have the data be inadvertently used for training, right?
Because this is going out. This is going to be anything you put into it is actually going to probably come up with if somebody else types in something similar. Something might come up that is sensitive to your company.
It could.
Okay.
It could, right? You know, and there are companies out there that are putting safeguards in place against that, right? So, for example, ChatGPT or OpenAI has like an enterprise version of ChatGPT where they say we're not going to, all your data is going to be siloed. Microsoft's product of Copilot, if you're using it at your business, right? They segregate all that data so that, you know, your queries and your documents aren't going out to feed whatever the models are that they're using.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that guarantee, right? So if you're just using the basic ChatGPT or the ChatGPT Pro or the Gemini Pro or any of the other like kind of just consumer level models, I don't think that you actually have that guarantee, right?
Right.
And so that means if you're going to use them for your work, and you have the agreement of your leadership, just make sure that you're scrubbing your data, make it anonymized, right?
Yeah.
So again, you're having it build you the structure as opposed to the finished product you're going to then just send off blindly.
Thank you for that. Because there are so many different AI platforms that are out there and so many different businesses and companies that are creating AI. We're not even going to get into quantum computers right now because I heard, you're a sci-fi guy like I am. I heard that they're using time crystals.
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff, right?
Exactly, right? I'm like, time crystals? Like, where are we right now? Is this Doctor Who? But I heard about this thing. It's just like, it's in time and out of time at the same time, which is an interesting thing when you think about quantum. It's like, we won't get in. Maybe we'll make an episode. Leave a comment if you want to hear a conversation about the quantum computers, because I like dive into all this stuff. I'm like a total futurist. I'm into all that stuff. But thank you so much for this conversation, especially I wanted to get into AI a little bit with the digital modernization, because it is part of the whole digital modernization as we move forward. There's those aspects, you know.
Yep.
So we have to make sure we pay attention to those things too. Is there anything else that might be something that the audience or utility companies or any company that might be looking to become a client of Greencastle, is there anything else in this subject matter of digital modernization or digital transformation that a company might want to know about that we do here at Greencastle?
Just that we have a pretty well proven track record for doing a lot of this work, right, in the transformation and modernization space.
Yeah.
Right? So we're not the ones who are installing the servers for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we will be the ones who will effectively manage your projects and essentially execute on that strategic vision that your company has.
Nice, nice. Well, thank you so much, Brad. This is Brad Kenny. Thank you so much for watching our show. Make sure you leave a like and subscribe if you haven't subscribed already. We're putting out content like this all the time. Make sure you hit the bell
when you do the subscription too, so that you get notifications from when we have new content that comes out. On behalf of Greencastle Consulting, your nation's premier strategy execution firm, I'm your host, Al Green, Brad Kenny, and we'll see you in the next episode.